Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC, made on Varick Street.
Как смотрят дети, но тот, кто раньше с нею был, сказал мне, чтоб я уходил, сказал мне, чтоб я уходил, что мне не светит.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today, we bring you another installment in our occasional Olympic series, From Russia with Soundcheck. Last week in this series, the singer Regina Spektor told us the story of the so-called Bob Dylan of Russia, Vladimir Vysotsky. You're listening to him in the background. Spektor told us that he wrote politically charged, subversive songs, though not so subversive that he was actively pursued by the Soviet establishment. The government was more active, though, in pursuing a musical movement that was blossoming in the Soviet Union when Vysotsky died in 1980. That movement? Punk rock. Brian Swirsky is a record collector and is overseeing a set of compilation records documenting the underground punk scene in the Soviet Union, and today he joins me here in the Soundcheck studio.
Thanks for having me.
So this compilation that you're working on covers many different regions, but you wanted to focus today on Siberia.
Yes.
Why?
Well, Siberia, there's a few reasons. Number one, it was a completely organic scene that popped out seemingly out of nowhere that didn't necessarily look to the West for inspiration. It looked more into the heart of the Russian soul in order to get its point across.
Now, when you say Siberia, I mean, we're talking about a vast – I mean, you look at a map of the world,
yes,
and like half of it seems to be Siberia.
Yes, so it's 1,200 miles away from Moscow.
Where in particular? What were the centers of this?
There were two. There was Novosibirsk, and which was considered the capital of Siberia, if you want to really define it. It was a university town that had a postgraduate think tank that was there, where a lot of very famous scientists worked on things during the Cold War, basically to, you know, fight against.
And a huge city. I mean, not a town.
No,
but a big city.
It is a big city.
Yeah.
And Omsk, which is also a sister town to Novosibirsk. So that's where the hub of all of this activity sort of erupted.
Okay. But musically, we're going to start not in Siberia, but some distance north of Moscow.
Yes.
Why?
Well, because the gentleman that you're about to play, Alexander Bashlachov, was a huge influence on one of the key components of the Siberian scene. He considered himself somebody that looked towards the Silver Age for questions and answers.
What's the Silver Age?
The Silver Age poets existed in Russia at the time of great social upheaval, right between the 19th and 20th centuries, and they basically questioned how society was changing through double entendre, double meaning, caged in verse.
So to say that he was like maybe a musical descendant of Vysotsky, whom we were just hearing?
I would say he is the son of Vysotsky in a lot of ways.
All right, let's hear a little bit. Alexander Bashlachov and a piece actually called Hearing Vysotsky.
Возвращаются все, и друзья, и враги, через самых любимых до преданных женщин. Возвращаются все и идут на круги, и опять же не верят в судьбе, кто-то больше, кто меньше. Возвращаются все.
That is the Soviet singer and songwriter Alexander Bashlachov and a song called Hearing Vysotsky, referring to Vladimir Vysotsky, whom we talked about last week in our series From Russia with Soundcheck. Brian Swirsky is overseeing a compilation set of underground Soviet punk, and we're talking about Siberian punk in particular. There's not much punky there, at least in terms of how we have come to define punk rock in the West, but This is like part of the DNA of the next generation.
Yes, the seeds were starting to get planted, I would say, directly from Vysotsky onward.
So he, Bashlachov, is hearing Vysotsky. It's right in the title of the song. Who's hearing him?
I guess the first person that concerns this interview would be Yanka Diaghileva, who had met Bashlachov at an apartment concert, which was a very popular way for people to hear live music during Soviet times. And the two of them had a huge connection to each other. There is an understanding that they were romantically involved for a period of time, but he had a direct influence on her songwriting and her thinking process as an emerging artist.
Now, we've heard her name, Yanka Diaghileva.
Yes.
And some of her songs,
yes,
on Soundcheck in the past.
Yes.
Alina Simone.
Alina Simone is a huge champion of hers.
Did a whole record of her songs.
Yes.
She occupies a place in Soviet music sort of analogous to who here in the States?
The closest that you could say would be Patti Smith circa Horses would be, or Joni Mitchell before she started becoming more songwriter-oriented, but when she was much more freeform.
Mm-hmm. So Yanka Diaghileva is a singer, songwriter, and one of the first generation of the Siberian punk scene?
Yes. She is definitely part of the first wave. The first initial impact of her her presence was felt when she joined forces with Igor Lyatov from Grazhdanskaya Oborona,
whom we'll talk about in a moment. Let's hear a song from Yanka Diaghileva. It's called On That Black Day. Song's called "На Черный день" on that black day, and that is Yanka Diaghileva, the first flowering of punk rock in Siberia during the Soviet Union. So, Brian, what years was Yanka active?
Well, her career basically started right around the time that she met Lyatov in 1987, and they met at the Novosibirsk Rock Festival, where Lyatov apparently performed a very controversial gig under a very controversial name, and that name would be Adolf Hitler, which was a direct provocation, and it ended up with him basically getting the power cut, and him and Yanka and a bunch of his associates all fleeing Siberia.
To where?
To wherever they could go where that would take them in for safe haven.
Wow. So her career begins around that time.
Yes, she became a member of Grazhdanskaya Oborona,
which is Lyatov's band.
Yes.
But she died early, right?
She died under some very mysterious circumstances. I mean, basically, Bashlachov we don't know the exact cause of his death, but he was either murdered or committed suicide. We still don't have any determination as to how he passed away.
This is the guy who influenced Yanka, who
yes,
we heard a few moments ago.
Exactly. And that happened in February 17th of 1988. And then that sank her into a very, very deep depression, basically ending the relationship that she and Lyatov had. They already were in the process of becoming more estranged from one another.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result of that, she basically just disappeared by 91, right at the dawn of the end of the Soviet Union.
Yeah. Wow.
So she retired back to her parents' house up in Novosibirsk. She disappeared on May 9th of 1991, and they found her body in a few days later, drowned in a river.
Wow.
And they haven't found the determination of her passing either. She was 24 years old when she passed away.
How significant was it for a woman to be at the forefront of this first wave of Siberian punk?
Well, you could say how significant was it in general for a woman in Russia, or pretty much internationally, because there's so very few women that are out there on the forefront. We know Patti Smith, we know Blondie, but you don't know the Czechoslovakian band Dibuk, who started out in 1978, you know. So Yanka fits into that pantheon of women who are quietly, you know, they were quietly ignored and now are getting significant acknowledgement by a growing cult of fans.
Right. Well, now, you've mentioned a couple of times already Igor Lyatov.
Yes.
Who was the guy who founded this band, Grazhdanskaya Oborona, or
yes,
Civil Defense.
Civil Defense.
Would be the English translation. And he seems to be the name that keeps cropping up when you talk about Soviet punk.
You cannot discuss Siberian punk without mentioning Lyatov.
Okay.
You can't.
And he was married to Yanka for a while?
For a while. I don't know exactly. I guess in Russian terms, I guess having a significant relationship would be considered marriage. I don't know if they were legally married or not.
Okay. And where is he in the kind of the pantheon, as you put it, of Siberian punk? Is he numero uno?
He is the master. He is the grand master of all of it. He basically had a studio that was the beehive of the entire Siberian scene. It was called the Coffin Studio, which was a disambiguation of Grazinskaya Barona. It was pronounced Grob, which translates to coffin.
Oh, okay.
And he must have produced something like 100 albums.
So wait,
of unique
I don't
material.
Have to say Grazinskaya Barona. I can just say Grob?
You could say Grob or you could say Go.
No one told me that.
Well,
this whole series.
That's why you had me on your show.
All right, so and grub actually means coffin.
It means coffin. So that gives you an indication of where Liatov's mentality was when it came to words and how to use them as weapons.
Well, let's hear Igor Liatov and his band, which I can now call Grob, and a song called Vershki I Koreshki.
Будет смешно, никто не знал, что всем так будет смешно. Маленький мальчик нашел пулемет. Так получилось, что он больше не живет на кухне.
Some Siberian punk from the band whose shortened name would be Grob, led by Yegor Lietov, the singer, songwriter, guitarist, and central figure on the Siberian punk scene. We're speaking with Brian Swirsky, who is overseeing a compilation of recordings of underground punk through the former Soviet Union being released via the Dead Kennedys singer Jello Biafra's label, Alternative Tentacles. When's that going to come out?
Well, it's a series of records. The first one, which is the most prepared out of all four of them, is going to be released in the fall of 2014, and then the Siberian one will be released sometime around Christmas.
And one would assume that Liatov will be a central part of that Siberian.
I would say 95% will be Liatov-related music.
Okay. This is part of our Olympic series from Russia with Soundcheck, and we're speaking with the veteran record collector and curator Brian Swirsky about the history of the vibrant underground punk scene in Siberia. You mentioned Yanka died under mysterious circumstances in 1991. She was 24. Lietov dies in, was it 2007?
2008. Yeah.
And he was also young. I mean, he wasn't 24, but
he was 48.
48 years old.
Yes.
So are we looking at a kind of a whole lost generation here?
The generation is definitely slipping through the sands of time. The records are still being in print. They're still being reissued. And all of Liatov's projects are slowly coming to light on vinyl.
Wow. Which many of them probably, you know, were these underground things he never made a penny off of when they were first recorded.
Yes, because that wasn't the point. The point was the message.
And what was the message?
The message was basically questioning everything there was to know about Soviet reality by digging deep into your Russian roots to question it.
We heard a song from Liatov last week called Everything is Going According
Say
to Plan.
Say plano, yeah.
And it's just, I mean, even without knowing a word of Russian, you get the
gist.
Well,
that's his most famous song. And it was an anti-Soviet song that was somehow subverted by the right to become a pro-nationalist anthem by the growing right wing in Russia.
Ah.
So that's how subtle Liatov's knife cut.
Hmm. All right. So Yanka and Liatov, as we've mentioned, are central figures. But tell me about Dima Kuzmin.
Dima Kuzmin was known as Cherny Lukich, which translates to Black Earth. And he was a singer-songwriter who came out of Novosibirsk, who put out many different albums, many different kinds of albums. Some of them were plain protest folk and then eventually became much more of a sophisticated singer-songwriter, and he just passed away in 2012.
Hmm.
So he's really one of the last of that forefront generation to disappear.
Is there a second generation? I mean, is there anything still there?
There are people that are carrying on. Some of the former members of Grob are still performing under the name Communism, which was a side project of
Liatov. An ironic name?
Very ironic. Again, very unique in its Russian flavor and totally you couldn't understand it on Western terms unless you really knew what they were going for.
But so this Dima Kuzmin recording under the name Cherny Lukich, mm-hmm. or Black Earth, he was sort of the last of that first wave of like really important figures in Siberian
yes.
punk. Well, that's where we'll leave it with a song called Ran Out of Bullets. And Brian Swirsky is overseeing a series of compilations of underground punk from the Soviet Union and focusing on Siberian punk with us today on Soundcheck. Brian, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.